We're going to, with the Lord's help, continue our study on the life of David. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles tonight again to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. I want to encourage you to get a copy of the message this morning. That'll be one that you'll want to keep and play from time to time. That'll help you. If you were unable to be here this morning, you definitely need it. Brother Cody preached on I'm a Star, and boy, some of the things that he brought out were just super, tremendous, very encouraging, and I believe God was all over that. And he shared with me at the conclusion of the service that he felt such liberty here in the pulpit. He appreciated the Spirit working in the midst of God's people, and you were a part of that if you were here. And so I appreciate your attentiveness to God's Word, your response to the man of God this morning. That will be, I would say, also available on the website. We're trying to post messages there for your convenience. Share them with your friends, share them with family. Check out the website. Holly is adding new things constantly. I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she finds the time to do it. But she does. And if you haven't been there in a while, take time to visit it. I think it'll help you. Very easy website address, www.victorybaptistlouisville.org, O-R-G. And there are a lot of helpful things on there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're looking tonight at one of the most beloved. And I got a ring here, Warren, in the microphone, if you can help me with that. We're looking at one of the most beloved and well-known stories in all the Bible. It's such a great story that it's tempting to read the whole chapter, but for sake of time and because of the familiarity of it, I'm just going to call your attention to a portion of it tonight. I'll refer to other parts of it as we pass through the message. Now I don't have anything that don't sound like Warren. Something fell out at the bottom, maybe. Can you hear me out there? Okay, as long as you can hear, that's all right. I don't need to hear myself. Well, maybe I do. Help me, Lord. Help me, Warren. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to begin reading at verse 31. And just keep your seat. Give me a chance to get my eyes on. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 31. The Bible says, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us as we consider your word tonight. Lord, give us the ability to pass on the interpretation of it. Lord, give the congregation the ability to receive just exactly, Lord, what you would have for all of us tonight. Lord, my desire is that we all go away having been spoken to from thee. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, impart his wisdom. Lord, may we be able to see in this thing something that will encourage us to be a little bit more like this man, David. A man who had a life that was up and down. A man who seemed to be on fire and at times cold toward the Lord. And yet, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. More is spoken about him than the Apostle Paul and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Lord, surely there must be some examples that we can learn from him that will help us to be the kind of Christian that you desire for us to be as well. So I pray, help us tonight in this time that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want you to consider David in this passage of Scripture here, and not so much the Philistine that he is doing battle against, and the fact that he is called the champion of those that were defying the armies of Israel. But I want you to look at the heart of the true champion tonight, that of little David. This passage presents him as a young man whose heart was filled with faith in the Lord. The Philistine himself looked at David, and the Bible says he disdained him. There in verse number 42, he realized that he was but a youth, just a child in the eyes of this giant of a man. And the Bible says that he was ruddy and of a fair countenance. But make no mistake about it, this young lad had a heart that was exceptional, a heart that was filled with faith in the Lord. David is a young man who was not afraid to go to battle with the giants of life and to claim victory in the name of the Lord. Yes. Did you sense his heart as he responded to the Philistine? And the words that he shouted back at him, he said, You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield there in verse 45, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, he said, will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. He went on to say, I'll give your carcass to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He possessed the heart of a champion. And I want you to know that you can too. God would have us to know that David was not the only individual who could possess the heart of a champion. I'm speaking, I believe, to a group of people who are facing some giants in your life. How do I know that? Because we all face giants. I even have a few of my own. And the bottom line is, you may not want to face your giants. You may not be all that encouraged as you attempt to do battle with your giants. You may want to run from them in fear. You may want to avoid them and hope that they'll just go away. But you need to know that your giants won't just go away. The giants have to be dealt with. God designed the Christian life from time to time for us to rise up with the heart of a champion and do battle against the giants that enter into our life. And I'm going to show you tonight, I believe, that it's by God's design And it is by his purpose that those giants come to us from time to time. He shows us through this young man David how to develop the heart of a champion. I want to share three things with you tonight in the time that we have. First of all, I see in David that he exhibited the right motives as a champion. That he exhibited the right motives. David's father Jesse had sent him to deliver some supplies to three of his brothers. They had been called upon, drafted, if you will, to fight in Saul's army. Look back in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel to verse number 12, and there you find that the Bible says, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. They were called upon, if you will, or had an interest in entering into the army. And they wanted to show their strength on behalf of their country. They wanted to show their allegiance to King Saul. And so they were given, issued a uniform, if you will, and they were put in to the forefront of the battle against this Philistine who had been defying the armies of Israel. And we see here that David enters in the scene as a little lad. As he arrives at the battlefield, we find that Saul's army is cowering in fear because of the taunts, because of the threats of a giant named Goliath. You read about that in the first 11 verses, and that's the most familiar part of all this story. It seems that Israel and the Philistines were carrying out an age-old ritual. Each army would produce a man, someone who showed themselves strong, and they would do battle with one another until one of them gave in, until one of them was defeated, and then the losing side had to serve the winners. You had to become slaves to them. You had to serve them at their beck and call. And of course, the champion chosen by the Philistines was not an ordinary soldier. We find the description given of him here in this passage of Scripture. He was 9 feet tall, or 9 feet 9 inches tall, almost 10 feet tall. He wore armor that weighed in, it is estimated, at 175 pounds. That's more than I weigh right now. That's a lot of weight. And he carried a spear on top of that that weighed over 32 pounds. The spearhead itself was more than 15 pounds. It took a monster to be able to carry that kind of weaponry into battle. And he was covered in brass from head to toe. He was definitely an opponent that brought fear and trembling to the opposite side. His defeat seemed definitely to be in question. For 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says, this giant had shouted threats at the armies of Israel, and he had challenged them to send out a man to do battle with him. Each day the Israelites heard those challenges. Each day, the Bible says, that they became so fearful that they retreated to their tents. They shook literally in their boots, or their sandals, I should say, because they knew they did not have a man that could do battle with this man Goliath. As David delivers the supplies to his brothers, he gets the privilege or the opportunity to see and hear Goliath and his challenges. David's faith and David's confidence in the Lord rises to the challenge. He offers to go out and fight this giant. He exhibits the right motives. When David spoke of killing the giant, however, his motives were questioned. Some people may have thought that David was motivated by some financial gain, by some reward that he would receive at the hand of Saul because he would kill Goliath. Look at the passage of Scripture here, in particular in verse number 25. The Bible says, "And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up?" They're speaking to David. "Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. What were David's motives for going against Goliath? Why was he seeming willing to do battle against this giant of a man? Was he trying to promote himself, as one of his brothers accused him of? Was he trying to get a foot into the kingdom, knowing that he had been anointed to be the future king of Israel? Did they think that maybe he had some kind of ulterior motive that he was working toward in attempting to do battle against this man Goliath? What were his motives? Was he fueled by greed? Was it the financial gain that he could receive? Was it the offering of the king's daughter to be his wife that appealed to him? What was it? It wasn't any of those things. It was the fact that he had faith in God, and it fueled his motives. He knew that because the armies of Israel were being defied, because they were being challenged, he knew that someone needed to stand up to that. That someone needed to attempt to put a stop to it. That was his only motive. He wasn't using it for a stepping stone to the palace. He didn't want to gain special attention from King Saul so that he would promote him more quickly to the throne. He did it because he was defending God's people. He was defending God himself. We need some people who will develop the heart of a champion like David, and who, when God's name is dragged through the mud, when God's name is being defied, when God's people and His church are being run down, they won't cower in fear. They won't run and hide in a tent. They won't say, well, I can get some kind of advantage in God's service if I just attempt to do this. But they'll step out by faith and do something with the right motive for God. David exhibited the right motives. As I read this story, I'm convinced that his heart was motivated by two things. First of all, I believe it was motivated by the glory of God. You notice what it said there in verse number 26? David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and watch this, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Look down at verse 36. We read it. He remembered how he was able to slew both the lion and the bear, and he said, This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. I don't know about you, but I about had my fill of Christians who say they're Christians, who name the name of Christ, but whenever there's a cause that bears our attention, that merits our strength, that deserves our fight, we run and hide. We back down. We give in. Yes, we say, let's don't ruffle the feathers. Let's don't make any waves. Let's don't create any problems. Let's just try to fly below the radar. God help us to get a backbone and to have the heart of a champion.
Yes, sir.
To rise up and say, I'm going to defend the glory of God. I don't know if you realize it, but Goliath was mocking the God of Israel. And David said, even as a young man, I'm not going to stand for that. I've had enough. I've heard all that I stand to hear. He couldn't stand the thought of that happening any longer. You know the reason why our country is in the position that it's in? You say, yeah, it's because we got so many lost sinners still. It's because we got so many heathen still, they've taken over the places of leadership. Well, that's true in part, but the real reason is because Christians have not fulfilled their responsibility. We have not kept at it. We've become the silent majority. And you say, well, I still believe in the right things. Yeah, but we're keeping them to ourselves. And we're just saying, let the rest of them go to hell in a handbasket. God help us to develop the heart of a champion and to stand up and say, I've seen them defy our God long enough and they're not going to do it any longer. He also, I believe, was motivated by his role as the future anointed king. You remember back there in chapter 16 where he had been protecting his sheep from the attacks, and we're even reminded of it here in the story. And the Bible says that he was anointed by the prophet Samuel. He didn't immediately assume the responsibility of being king of Israel. It would be some years later before that ever occurred. There was training that needed to take place, as we have shared with you in the past weeks. But still, he was relying on the truth and the fact that God had a purpose for his life. He knew what he had been appointed for, and he was going to stay true to that. He wasn't going to give up on it. He was going to stay available to God. When you see the giants you're facing in your own life, you need to ask yourself this question: why do I want that giant defeated? What is my motive for seeing that giant dead? An easier life, possibly? Bragging rights? Power in the eyes of others? So that you'll feel better? So that your life will be easier? What is the motive for you wanting to see the giants fall at your feet? Is it because you have the heart of a champion, and like David, you want God to be glorified and you want his plan to be fulfilled in your life? That's really all that matters when it comes down to it. I say to you that this evening, one of the primary reasons God used David, as young as he was and as small as he seemed to be, to defeat Goliath, was because David had the right motives for wanting that giant dead. Yes, sir. Those other men who were able, those other men who were stronger, those other men who had been trained for that purpose, could have done it had they had the heart of David, the champion. But only little David, who was brought on the scene to supposedly deliver supplies, was willing to step up and do something on behalf of God's glory and because of his plan for his life. You have to exhibit the right motives. Secondly, you have to embrace the right methods. You have to embrace the right methods. When David's plan to kill the giant reached the ears of Saul, he joined the chorus of naysayers. He started telling David, "You can't do the job. You're not capable. You're just a youth." What a group of cheerleaders David had on his side. Amen? Boy, he had a lot of support. He had a lot of encouragement. I'm going to tell you something. When you get busy for God, don't expect a lot of people to rally around you and cheer you on. Don't look for someone to pat you on the back and say, "Hey, whatever it is you need, I'll be there for you." You just better depend upon God. You just better realize that he's in control of your life. He's working on his behalf to fulfill his purposes in your life. And you have to embrace the right methods. And that's exactly what David did. When Saul heard that David was determined to go, in spite of how he tried to discourage him, he tried to suit David up with his own armor. He said, "Well, if you're going, you better take this. You're going to need some protection." And David, the Bible says, he tried it on, but he rejected Saul's armor because it had not been proven in his life. It hadn't worked in the past for him. He had no experience with it. David was determined that he would go into battle with the things that had always worked for him in the past. He knew that the God who always had come through for him would come through in the future. He knew that God was still in control. He knew that God had proven himself to be faithful. And so he said, "I'll just take what I've used in the past and I'll go for God. I don't need what you're offering me, King Saul." David didn't know a thing about shields. He didn't know a thing about spears. He didn't know a thing about swords until later on. He wasn't schooled in the army. He was not comfortable in the armor. He was not an archer who could shoot arrows straight. David knew God, and that's all he needed. And so he said, "I'll go with God. I'll go with what he has done in the past." He'd always given him the victory, and he knew that God does not change. Do you know that God doesn't change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, we're told in Hebrews 13:8. David knew that God was greater than any equipment that could be offered to him. David knew that God was greater than any giant, even Goliath. He knew that God had a plan for his life, and that plan didn't include him dying at the hand of Goliath. Don't you remember, folks? He'd been anointed to be the future king of Israel. That didn't take God by surprise that Goliath was defying the armies of Israel. And he knew. Aren't you glad that God has a champion for his causes? That he has someone who has a heart that is developed to get up and serve him with the things that are proven, the things that seem to go against the typical, the things that don't seem to make sense is what God chooses to use. He chooses the ordinary, the base, the simple things to confound the wise, Paul told us. Look around you. Look at yourself in the mirror. There's nothing special or exceptional about any of us. I'm not picking on you. I'm a part of you. We're all in the same boat. We're all a mess. Truth is, we're all just crooked sticks, I've heard it said. But that's what God delights in using. If you'll just put your life in His hands and embrace the right methods and say, God, here I am, I'm available. I don't know. I don't have much, but I know you have it all. And I'm willing to stand up on your behalf. God will use you. The Bible says here in verse number 40 that David took a sling and some stones and he relied upon God. Look at it there. He took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David wasn't afraid to go against that giant of a man with what he knew had worked in the past. You say, well, why did he take 5 stones then? Why didn't he just take 1 if he was so confident? If he really had the heart of a champion, seemed to me like his faith was shaken here a little bit. Remember, David was human. David wanted to make sure that the job could be accomplished. You say, no, David took 5 stones because 5 in the Bible is the number of grace, and David needed grace to defeat Goliath. Well, that's true. He did need grace. And God gives grace for us to do battle against our giants. But I doubt very seriously that David knew anything about Bible numerology. Remember, he was a youth, just a young fella. And he probably hadn't learned that much about Bible numbers as of yet. You say, well, I know why he took 5 stones. Goliath had 4 brothers or 4 sons. And it's recorded in the Word of God in 2 Samuel 21 that he had some descendants. And David knew that they might show up. And so he took those extra stones just in case. I believe the most likely reason is that David wanted to be sure, as I said, that he could finish the job, that he could complete what God had assigned him to do. He knew the giant might not fall on the first shot. He knew that it might take more than 1 shot. And by the way, your giants and my giants don't always go down on the first attempt. Sometimes they get back up. Sometimes they come at you again. Sometimes they lay there like they're dead, and you get kind of comfortable and you start to walk off, you turn your back on them, and then they get up and come after you again. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had any giants do that to you? You ain't lived long enough if you haven't. Sooner or later, it'll happen. And you need to understand that you got to keep swinging. You got to keep flinging those stones. You got to keep going at them in order to defeat them once and for all. If you do that, eventually they'll fall at your feet. You say, man, I've knocked them down, preacher, but they get back up, and I'm so weary, I'm so tired that I don't think I've got any more fight in me. Yes, you do. God put the heart of a champion in you. He wants to use you for His glory. He wants to use you for His purpose. You can try any method you please to defeat the giants in your life. You can attend the latest seminar and get all the latest technology. You can read the newest books. You can climb on the latest bandwagon. You can pray the prayer of Jabez. You can strive for a purpose-driven life, as Rick Warren says. You can claim your best life now, as Joel Osteen says. But when it is all said and done, giant killing comes down to 1 thing. You got to be willing to get your hands dirty and fling a stone at him. You got to be willing to roll up your sleeves and get involved in the fight. If you want to see them lying dead at your feet, then you need to know something about God and how faithful and true He is. God's greater than your giants, we're told. God works on our behalf, and He continues to work on our behalf. You don't need new methods to defeat your giants. You don't need a new way to go at it. Just stay with what's proven. Just stick with the old stuff. Amen? Just keep staying true to God's Word. Just be faithful to Him. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. And remember how God has blessed that in the past. And when you do, it'll encourage you to have the heart of a champion. He exhibited the right motives. He embraced the right methods. He communicated with God about the giant that he was facing. You know, prayer is the believer's greatest secret weapon. We spent weeks, several Sunday nights, dealing with the subject of prayer and how important it is in the believer's life. When we communicate with God about our giants, when we involve Him, then He gives us the wisdom to know how to deal with them. He unleashes the power of heaven to help us confront that giant. The saints of God can be in constant contact, we're told, with the throne of grace. We can enter into boldly the throne of grace before God to find help in the time of need. You can assault your giant, not just through prayer, but with the Word of God. Isn't that how Jesus defeated His enemy? Remember when He was in the wilderness being tempted, young folk? Remember when the devil said, "Turn these stones into bread and your need will be met"? And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do you know enough of the Word of God to do battle against your giants? You say, "Well, if I got it tucked under my arm, I'll always be ready." What about when you don't have opportunity to have it tucked under your arm? What about when you're expected to give an honest day's work and it requires all of your being involved in it? Do you have it hid away in your mind and in your heart so that you can recall it and you can use it whenever the temptation comes or the giant rears his ugly head? You can assault your giant with the Word of God. You can attack your giant in faith just like David did, knowing that God always gives the victory. Warren was talking about 1 Corinthians 15 there, about being changed. And the passage goes on to say there in verse 57, "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I think a lot of times we forgot that we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Victory was obtained at the cross. And when you knelt at the cross and received Jesus as your Savior, He saved you and gave you victory. And He expected you to get up and go on and to fight in victory, not continue to fight for victory. He's interested in our victory. What a God we have. He didn't leave David out there to defend himself, but He was with him every step of the way. He embraced the right method. God didn't save you to let you fall at the hand of your giant. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You say, "I don't see God working in my life. I don't see Him helping me overcome my giants." Are you embracing the right methods? Are you kneeling before Him in prayer? And do you have the Word of God hid in your heart? Giants, I said earlier, by way of introduction, are placed in our lives for a purpose. What on earth could be the purpose? To grow us in the Lord. To grow us in the Lord. I want you to put your finger there in 1 Samuel and turn back to the book of Numbers. You got to see this before we leave tonight. Numbers chapter 14. You remember the children of Israel when they left Egypt? Seemed like it wasn't long and they started experiencing giants. And it seemed like it continued to be an ongoing thing, even right up to David. And we find in the book of Numbers chapter 14 something interesting that I want you to see. Look at verse number 9. Numbers 14 and verse 9. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord," the Bible says, "neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. That's what God delivered as a message to the children of Israel as they were wandering around the wilderness and they were encountering giants themselves. He said, fear not. They are bread for us. What's bread? What's the purpose of bread? Bread nourishes us, doesn't it? Bread is a staple that strengthens us. Bread is necessary. It's got to be a part of our diet. We have to have it. Might I remind you that God has bread too? It's the Word of God, and Jesus Himself is the bread of life. We need Him. We need His Word. We need a steady diet of it to sustain us. And we need to realize that when we take that we have no reason to fear the giants of this life. The giants are meant to grow us. They're meant to help us. He said they're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. They have no power over you, and the Lord is with us, He said. Fear them not. Warren Wiersbe said it like this. Giants are the bumps that we climb on. We grow when we encounter giants and we embrace the right methods and exhibit the right motives. The third thing I want to share with you tonight before I let you go is this. You have to expect the right miracles. You have to expect the right miracle. David walked down into that valley into what seemed an impossible situation. He was doubted by most everyone. He was ridiculed by the giant himself. But his faith allowed him to accomplish everything that fear denied Saul and the rest of them. He was an overcomer. Notice the contrast between the speech of Goliath and the speech of David. Look back at verse 43 again. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? You think you can run me off with a couple of rocks? You think you can just fling that thing in my direction and it'll cause me to tremble and I'll go scampering? Am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. I believe he called him every name in the book. Everything that you can imagine. Yep. And the Philistine, it says in verse 44, went on to say to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'll give the Philistine some credit. He knew that David, being the size that he was probably quick, fast as lightning. And so he enticed him, and he said, come to me. You get within arm's length where I can catch you, and buddy, it's lights out for you. It's all over. I'll show you what I'll do to you. He said in verse 44, I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But guess what? I'm not shaking in my sandals. Guess what? I'm not afraid. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David declared the victory and the glory of God before the battle was even fought. Before he even flung the first stone. Before he ever went into hand-to-hand combat. He was already declaring the victory. And he was giving the glory to God before the battle was ever fought. That's the essence of faith. When you have that kind of faith, it'll allow you to give your victory speech before the fight even begins. Because you know the kind of God that is on your side. David engaged the giant in battle, and he won victory over him. Faith took up the challenge that day. Faith overcame fear. Faith stayed with God and with what had always worked. Faith walked down into that valley where it seemed a lonely place. Faith faced the giant. Faith hurled the stone. Faith saw the giant fall to the ground. And faith received the victory. Hey, listen, never underestimate the power of faith in your battles. David expected the right miracle. Did you know that Goliath didn't die in verse 49? Look at it there. The Bible says, David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. But that's not where Goliath died. That's not when he died. He didn't die in verse 51 either. The Bible says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. You say, what do you mean he didn't die? He was headless. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. There was testimony given that he was dead. What do you mean he didn't die there? No, friend, he didn't die in either one of those places. He died earlier when David claimed the victory, when he trusted God with the heart of a champion. Look back, if you will, to verse number 40 or 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? That's when he died. That's when God gave the victory. The rest of it was just a formality. Look down in verse number 29. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? What was David doing? He was digging the grave for that giant right there. He knew it needed to be done. He gave the eulogy in verse 36. He talked about the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of these, seeing he hath defied the armies of the Israel, of the armies of the living God. He was eulogizing him. He was talking about him already and his passing. All David had to do in verse 49 and 51 was walk by the grave. Maybe kick a little dirt or lay some flowers on the headstone and say, I told you so. My God's able. He expected the right miracle. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me. Look up from your Bibles a minute. Listen to me. You may not see your giant fall instantly. It may take several attempts, but you can, with the heart of a champion, claim the victory ahead of time.
Amen.
You can put your faith and trust in God and believe that He'll bring it to pass sooner or later.
Yes.
You have no need to fear. You can be just as strong as the young man David was, and you can possess the same kind of heart that he possessed by just trusting God by faith. That the victory is yours. What giant are you facing tonight? What giant is present in your life? What giant keeps rearing his ugly head? What giant seems to keep coming back time after time after time with the same old song? Remember what Goliath did 40 days and 40 nights. He walked up and down on the other side of the hill defying the armies of Israel. I dare you to come out here, you little wimps. If you come out here, I'll show you what I'll do to you.
Right.
And man, they ran and hid. And that's a lot of times what we do.
Sure is, brother.
How's that giant going to be defeated? It's going to take someone who has the heart of a champion. And David was not an individual who was exceptional to the rest of us. He was a man just like you and I. You remember David sinned greatly? You remember that David doubted at times in his life that God was for him. You remember that David often did something contrary to God's will for his life, but yet David came back to God.
Yes.
David repented.
Yes.
Whenever we do that, God honors that.
Amen.
And God restores us.
Yes.
And God gives us the strength we need to go on and to overcome the giant the next time. It's a learning process. We're all involved in the school of life. And the instructor is trying to teach us all, as his pupils, important lessons. Lessons that we're safe. Lessons that he's sovereign. Lessons that we're secure in him and he will help us to obtain the victory.
Amen.
As long as we possess the heart of a
yes.
champion. David was human. Don't put him up on a pedestal and say he was different than the rest of us. David just had a heart for God, and he had a heart of a champion. May God help us to have the same.